Once I received a phone call from Seattle, a Chinese church in Seattle. They invite me as their revival retreat speaker. And I asked the pastor, he was my close colleague when I served in New York City. I said, what do you want me to preach? What's the greatest need of your congregation? And he told me that the theme of the church that year was experiencing God. He said, Pastor Trang, why? What's the reason that the great majority of Christians today, they still so dry and their God seems so remote, far away from them, experience God's power, God's presence among them. What was the reason that we failed to do that? Preach on this topic. So as I pray and prepare for the sermons, a statement came to my mind. The statement was the passage that we just read. The statement Jesus said, Father, yes, for this is your wonderful will, or yes, Father, this is what your pleasing will. This is the most difficult statement that for believers today, which hinder us from experiencing God's power and His presence among us. So I bring to you this message this morning, Matthew chapter 11, and pray that God will speak to our hearts. Let's pray again, preparing our hearts for this moment. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. We pray for your presence. The Holy Spirit, use your word, speak to our hearts so we can hear your voice, so that we can change to be better, a follower of yours. Lift up this hour in your hand. May your name be glorified. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The scripture we read is in Matthew chapter 11, starting verse 25th verse. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. In Greek, the last statement you can translate as, yes, Father, this is your wonderful and beautiful will. The section of scripture start with three words, at that time. At what time? If we understand the background of this statement, we know why and how come this statement is so difficult for believers today. The statement starts with chapter 11, verse 1. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the town of Galilee. And then John the Baptist, who heard in prison what Christ was doing, and he sent his disciples to ask him, when you have time to read the whole chapter, when Jesus prayed that statement to God, yes, Father, this is your beautiful will, at that time, what time, John the Baptist sent two disciples to ask him a very special question. What did he ask? He asked in verse 2, are you the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else? Do you remember what does it mean, this statement? I read again. John the Baptist in prison, he sent people to ask Jesus, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? And then if you move down, and then verse 20, it starts with, for when Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. Now, at what time Jesus prayed that prayer? It was the time that even John the Baptist questioned about him. You know why John asked this question? He was put in prison. He was put in prison by criticizing the immoral marriage of the king. Why he was so disappointed when he was in prison, because remember when he first came out, he preached in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And when all the people coming to be baptized by him, he said something we would not say today. He saw these people coming to him for baptism. He said to them, "You brood of vipers," means that you snakes, poisonous snakes. We would never call those candidates for baptism poisonous snakes, right? We would not do that. But why John the Baptist say that? He said what? "Who want you to flee from the coming wrath, coming judgment? Repent, produce fruit in keeping with repentance." He talked to these people, said, the wrath of God, the judgment of God is coming so close. Now, who taught you to escape from that wrath and come here to baptize? I tell you what, if you want to be baptized, bear fruit of repentance in your life, because the wrath of God is coming. And then when he saw Jesus, one day, recorded in John chapter, Gospel of John, he saw Jesus say, "Behold, the Lamb of God," right? "Who take away the sin of the world." Now, when we put back the environment John was in, when he sent the disciples to ask Jesus the question, he was in prison for making something he believed was right. The marriage was wrong, but he criticized the king, so he was in jail. Now, did he see the wrath of God and the judgment of God came right away? No. Did he see sins being taken away? No. He was in prison, and he was looking around. What he saw was sinful deeds. People still getting worse and worse in sin. He didn't even see the judgment of God coming. So he asked Jesus, "Was that you? Did I make a mistake of pointing at you saying that you are the one?" And then what Jesus said to him, he said, Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." What he's saying that, yes, go back to John the Baptist, tell him, "Yes, I am the promised one, I am the Messiah." Whatever Jesus taught here was the one that will be done when Messiah came. But verse 6, "Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. What actually Jesus saying to John the Baptist is this. Yes, I am the promised one. I am the Messiah. I am the son of our Father. Yes, I come here to save the world. Yes, you are right. I've come to remove the sin of God. But if I'm not doing exactly what you expect me to do right now, and you does not fall away, you did not just disappear, your faith stands, you are the blessed one. It's difficult when things are going the other way. John was a man in faith, but he was shaken. Now, and then after that, verse 20, Jesus was going around to preach the gospel and people reject him. When everything went wrong, when in Jesus' ministry, he prayed that prayer, "Father, yes, this is your great will. This is what you think is right. Father, yes, this is what your beautiful, wonderful will." It's difficult. It's a very difficult statement for a believer today to say. Why? Because when things going the other way, when things are not working out the way you want, "I want to go into this major, I want to study in this major." If you, it cannot. "I like this young man or young girl, but she doesn't like me or he doesn't like me." "If I want this job, but I didn't get it." "I was praying for good health. I had a great plan for the future, but something happened, changed all of that." At that moment, at that time, it's difficult, as even for a believer, to pray to God that, God, yes, this is your beautiful will. Jesus was setting example for his disciples. One thing you have to remember, that's all being reminded. Everything Jesus did during his time in ministry, he did that because of the disciples. He performed miracles, he was teaching, talking. Sometimes he even used parables, but for his disciples. The message is for Christians today. It's difficult. It's very difficult because today we all know how to plan. At least, you know, young people, for older folks, for us, maybe not too much. We can plan for future. But young people, we have great future. We have great many years to come. So we plan. We hope this and we want that. But what happened if things do not work out our way? Is he still our Lord? Is we still believe God is in control? Can we pray that, yes, your will be done? I was so touched when I heard, I love singing in your congregation. I wish you can share some of your praise team to the Chinese, make us worship more alive. One of him saying that, I lay me down, right? Put down yourself, we submit ourselves into God's will. Yes, we joyfully pray that your will, your way be done. It's not easy. I love my wife, we married for many years, and I have been ministry for 30 some years. And then I was going to change from a pastor to a seminary professor. I was going to start my teaching in September. So in between, I had a few months off. And my wife, she loves to travel, and I hate traveling. So I say, Calvin, can we go to a place? I say, yeah, sure, I will go out. I went out to buy a DVD and gave it to her. You know, what can be better? Drinking a cup of hot tea, watch DVD, traveling to Japan, Australia, wherever you want to go. She didn't like that. So finally, she grabbed the opportunity and said, Calvin, I have been following you for 30-some years in ministry. You never said you have time. Now you have a break 3 months. Can we go? You know, it makes things worse. My son-in-law told her, go anywhere you like, I will pay for everything. That's bad. Now, you know, she planned a long trip to London, to Paris, and then back to the U.S. for 1 day. And then we flew to Hong Kong, and we went to Australia, and then Singapore. Can you believe it? The list goes on. And she got sick when she got to Australia. Some bacteria went inside her spine, developed some toxic things, pus or something, pressing the nerve totally. Suddenly, overnight, she lost control of everything from the neck down. She was paralyzed. When we flew back to Hong Kong, as a miracle, it was so painful. Only her eyes and mouth could move. So we rushed to the hospital and realized how serious it is. Overnight, she had a surgery for 5 hours. And actually, it was planned for 3. So the surgeon told me that, Mr. Tran, don't worry, sit here. We'll drill some holes in her spine and drain out those toxic things inside. Hopefully, she can regain some of her sense. And she was admitted to the surgery room, operation room at 8, so 3 hours would be 11, right? I was counting every minute. It was the longest time in my life. And when it kept 11:30, no news, 12, no news, 12:30, no news. Suddenly a nurse rushed out. Who's Mr. Strand? I said, I am. My heart dropped to the bottom. You know what she said? She said, the doctor tell you, don't worry. I said, what? Don't worry, it's fine. So, I almost had a heart attack. I said, what happened? He said, no, don't worry, things went well, but take longer time. So near early morning, the doctors came out. He asked me, you want to hear good news or bad news first? I said, tell me the bad news first. The doctor said, no, I prefer tell you good news. Okay, okay. Say it. What's the good news? Good news is I clear up the things in her spine from here to the waist. Actually, the thing became no longer liquid. Drill holes, nothing came out. Doctor said it became solid. He had to take our spine, open it up section by section, and duck those things out. The good news is I think I cleared it all out. Now the bad news, she may not be able to ever move again. It takes a long miracle, big miracle, that she can ever feel anything from here down. I know you're a Christian, pray. So I pray. And when they wheel my wife back to the bed, I was shocked. I couldn't believe. Now we were out to enjoy some vacation. And now suddenly, she may not be able to move again. That night, I came back to where I was staying. I was staying with my friend in a room with a bed. I looked at the corner. There was some luggage. We were traveling. And on the top of it, there were two pairs of new shoes. My wife never liked to buy things. Even I beg her, say, buy something, she would not. But Hong Kong salesmen were exceptional. She just walked out and they were able to convince her to buy two pairs of new shoes. She said, okay, when I recap the U.S., these are comfortable shoes, not fancy ones, but very comfortable. And I'm going to wear it. You know, that night, I suddenly looked at those shoes. I couldn't believe she may not be able to ever wear it again. It was a nightmare. You know, I keep on hitting myself. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. It's a nightmare. It's not true. Wake up, wake up. It was true. It's difficult to accept. After all, we went through when we had a tough life in Vietnam. When I was sent to education camp, she was taking care of a new baby. We went through the bow and everything and came to this country. At those few years, we had a tough time. I was holding three jobs. Can you believe three jobs? To make our family needs being met. Went through it. Now is the time we can enjoy something. God, why? I was in my changing from a church pastor to a seminary professor. I love teaching. And you know what? To be a professor, it should be wonderful, right? All the headaches will not be mine, will be all the students. I give them headaches. And when they turn in their assignment, yeah, I can read it. I didn't give A's a lot. It's joking, but I love teaching. I had the whole year of teaching plan setting aside. I said, God, if she cannot move again, and I believe she cannot, the doctor says so, I will take care of her for the rest of my life and her life. It was a shock. You know, the next day I was in a bus going to the hospital. Hong Kong announced a big storm was approaching. If eighth grade, the highest one. But the storm, we got to us around 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. So I left home, left the house, not my home, where I was staying early, 8 o'clock. I want to get there to brush the teeth for my wife and help her clean up. And before the storm came, I'll go home. You know, that morning, I went outside. We were taking the bus. Bus 42, I never remember. I will never forget that number. Bus 42 took us from the place I was staying to a hospital. And you know what? That bus irritated me. On the bus side, there was an ad. When you travel overseas, don't forget to buy travel insurance. And I did not. You know, I say, I wish I see this earlier. So I got in the bus. You know, if you ever in Hong Kong bus have two, how you call it, two layers, right? Upstairs and downstairs. I got in, I usually was so crowded, it was nobody. I was the only person in that bus. I sit in the upper level. Outside, the rain started pouring. It was so dark. You know, suddenly I had an idea. A feeling that I was so lonely, so alone. In this environment, I look around, nobody. Also, I was so dark. The storm's approaching. And I remember my wife. We had been married for many years. We were high school sweethearts. No matter how hard we stayed together, my wife always said, don't worry, no matter how dark the environment is, we stay together, we can walk through by His grace. Now for me that morning, it didn't seem a light at the end of a tunnel. And then I remember this statement. Before we went to Australia, we stopped at Hong Kong. Hong Kong Seminary invited me to preach to all the students, graduate students. So I used this the passage, I said, well, listen, you folks are going to graduate to serve in churches. Of course, as pastor, we want our church grow big and big and big and big and big. Everything goes so smoothly. But if God put you in a place to pastor a church, there's only 50 people, 30 people. For the rest of your life, it will never grow, no matter what you do. Are you willing to pray to God that, yes, Father, this is your wonderful will? You know, that morning I was in a bus, the message came back to me. It said, Calvin, you were able to preach this to some other people. What happened? Can you apply that to yourself? Are you willing to pray now, yes, God, Father, this is your will? It was difficult. Things are not going. Anything, no hope. You know, I struggle. I say, God, how can I pray? Yes, for the rest of my life, my wife cannot walk, paralyzed on the bed like this. Yes, your will, wonderful will. How can I do that? And then the voice in my heart say, you can preach to people, but you cannot do it in yourself. Is that what it is? So, you know, finally, a long struggle, and I bowed my head. I spoke out loud because there was nobody around me. I said, God, Father, yes. If this is your will, I joyfully accept it, even though I know there'll be a hard time in the future. It changed everything I was preparing for. But you know what? After my prayer, I heard somebody spoke to me. As if it was someone, I look around, there's nobody. The voice very clear. See that after the storm, there'll be sunshine. It came back. Peace came back when I was able to utter that sentence. The most difficult sentence for believers, even for pastors. Yes, if things are not working the way to the other extreme, are we in whatever circumstances willing to say, God, yes, Father, this is your will. And then another statement come back to me is that even the sparrow, the birds on the skies were valued in God's eyes. Every single hair on your head had been counted. You know, I went to hospital. Cut a long story short, 3 weeks later, I saw a miracle. Urology told my wife that you will have a tube draining the urine from you for at least 1 to 2 years. If after 1 year, you can urinate yourself, it was a miracle. You know, that day, it was a time to change and a new tube. Every 2 weeks, you have to change a new one, if not infection. So we prayed that night, and we have a strong feeling. We talked to a doctor, urology, said, doctor, can you hold off? Let's just try by herself. Say, are you kidding me? It's only 3 weeks. Say, let's try. The doctor said, okay, today I stationed here. I let you try. From 10 o'clock, drink it. and then drink more water, and that way, if she suffers, then I put back the tube. Then after 10 o'clock, he didn't do it until near 1 or 2 o'clock, he had the nurse remove the tube, and my wife started drinking water. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 p.m., nothing. And 5 o'clock, I have to leave the hospital to attend a graduation ceremony in one of the seminaries. So I went there. Before that, I prayed, God, can you let me see a miracle? And then my wife said, dear, do you want to try? She said, okay. We walked to a bathroom. You know, the sound of the urine fall into the bathtub, it was the most beautiful music in the whole world. She could do it. And then I rushed out to tell the urologist, say, she did it. He didn't, he said, no way. Tomorrow morning, I came at 10 o'clock. You told her to drink a lot of water that morning. I used a machine. I didn't know that a machine can measure the force of the urine. He came the next morning back to normal. You know, that night I was sitting in the seminary graduation. I was not going. I was dressed in T-shirt and jeans. And the president said, Pastor Ren, come, come, come. You taught some courses here. You have one of the teachers. Come, come, come. So there were 20,000 people in that seminary. So I said, okay, it's safe for me in T-shirt and jeans. You know what? When I got to the spot, the big, huge church, the secretary of the president's office was waiting for me, put a rose here, and took me up the stage, sitting with those people in robes. I was in jeans and sneakers. I was so embarrassed. But you know what? I really didn't care, because I saw miracles. My wife could see again. And last year, we went to Canadian Rocky Mountain trip. She was able to walk in front of me, climbing mountains, with one of the two pair of shoes. I saw a miracle. No matter what, this is not, it's not something I ever asked for, ever dream of. But the statement is difficult because we have to submit the sovereignty back to God. It's not easy because it is a statement of acknowledging God's will is better than mine. He is the Lord. And also acknowledge that God's wisdom is better than us. You know, today, we know a lot. We know what to do things. We know how to plan. We know how to evaluate. But brothers and sisters, you are still young. And for older folks like us, God's faithfulness, God's power, God's wisdom can be experienced by us. The only thing hindering for us is that sentence. Are you willing to pray to God in no matter what circumstances? Pray God that, Father, yes. If this is real, yours will be done. I went to Jerusalem for 5 weeks. There's a church called Church of All Nations. It was a beautiful church. I went inside. The ceiling was colored stained glass with different nations' flags. It's beautiful. You know, by the side of the church, there was an olive tree 2,000 years ago. People said that was a tree Jesus was kneeling to pray before he went to a cross. He was arrested. And there was a stone there. It carved one sentence. Not my will, but yours be done. Church of all nations was built upon that. And you and I can experience the power of God if we are willing to submit ourselves to him. It's difficult, very difficult. Can it be done? It's up to you. If we are willing to do it, you know, at the end of the Jesus statement, verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, this sentence always often being used in evangelistic meetings, calling for non-believers to accept Christ. But brothers and sisters, this sentence was spoken to disciples. If you want a life free, a life experiencing God's power, if you want a life without burden, say that prayer to God. God, I don't know about tomorrow. I still have some plan, I want to do this. I do my best to pray. But may your will be done, not mine. Then you know what? One day in the future, when you look back, you'll truly experience Romans chapter 8, 28. God will make all things work together for the good of those who love him. Do you believe it? Do you truly believe God is in control? Do you truly believe, no matter what, he has a plan in your life and mine? Do you believe Christian life can be restful, can be exciting? Not because you and I are able to plan for the future. A lot of things not in our hands, not in our control. But he is our Lord. Father, yes, this is your will. Let's pray.